They never came home. The poster that was carried by the Stardust families after the coroner's court verdict yesterday, that 43 years ago in 1981, their 48 loved ones were unlawfully killed in the Stardust fire. The pain of that loss has lived with those families all these years. Yesterday's verdict finally brought some justice. Our reporter Karen Creed spoke to people in Artane on the north side of Dublin yesterday.
I was about 10 when it happened, and I know people that have lost people that night, and it affected everyone in the area. And what affected us more was the fact that it went on so long to try and get justice for the families. And it's good to hear that today they finally have got it.
My pals lived in this area and were going, and of course it was Valentine's Day and I wanted to go, but my mother wouldn't let me. So only for that. And then I had a cousin died a couple of days afterwards that she had been in there, Carol Reynolds. And yeah, it has been, it's long overdue. I'd say the families can maybe have some closure now.
It is something that our kids will be taught in the future, I'm sure, and they'll know all about it.
Delighted. There was, I was that age group teenager at the time, and there was a girl I palled around with. We wouldn't have been very, very close friends, but three members of her family went, and I'm delighted for her family and extend for all the families. It's been a hard road, and sure wasn't Charlie Bird amazing with them all.
It was very emotional for everyone because we were rearing all our family. I just had a young child when that happened, and she's 40 now, whatever. And it just, as they're growing and the family and community are growing, you realise what an impact it would have had on any of us if any of our children had been there. My children at the time were too young to go. And I always thought afterwards they would have been that because it was just local.
Whatever they want from this now, I hope they get, because they all deserve it. God bless them. Lord rest them. R.I.P. to them all.
R.I.P. And with me in studio, Sean Murray, news reporter with the Irish Examiner and co-creator of the Stardust podcast. Also on the line, Susan Behan, whose 21-year-old brother John Colgan died in the Stardust fire. Your brother John, Susan, he never came home. What does yesterday's verdict mean to you?
It just means so much to us as a family, to myself, to all of the families, to finally hear that our loved ones were unlawfully killed. It's just so many emotions. It's been such a long time coming. We were just in disbelief, you know, yesterday, afraid to even breathe at times that maybe we mightn't get justice after all this. But when we heard it, it was just unreal. You know, all those emotions, 43 years of wondering, and then we finally hear those words. It was just unbelievable. It really was. It's very hard to put it into words, to be honest, because this morning, I actually can't believe it. I just can't believe it. You know, and I'm so relieved that, you know, finally we have the justice we deserved.
Indeed. And Sean Murray, not only was this the most appalling tragedy in 1981, that finding from the original tribunal that the Stardust fire had probably been started by arson, that added to the pain for so many of these families and that community, didn't it?
Because the Stardust fire was one of the single worst losses of life event in Irish history, on its own is one of the most unspeakable tragedies you could imagine. But that was compounded with that arson verdict, and that lasted for years. That was 28 years before that was expunged from the record.
In 2009.
In 2009. And we're talking then 15 years later, we only reached this point. It just shows just how long and how far and how hard the families had to fight to get this far. And it's an absolute credit to each and every one of them that they made it this far, like Susan, like Antoinette Keegan, like Gertrude Barra. It was an appalling vista, and it's an appalling stain on Ireland that it took this long. But I think anyone who was in that room yesterday will never forget that moment when those two words, unlawful killing, were said. It was remarkable. I'm sure Susan could talk to it as well. It was just this amazing cascade of emotion, and it was humbling to be able to see it. It was truly incredible.
Tell us about it, Susan.
It was like 43 years of pent up anxiety And we just heard those words and we nearly all fell to the ground and we just erupted in roars and screams and cries. You know, we just could not believe it. I think the roof nearly came off the building. We were that excited and elated, you know, and mixed emotions. You know, you say happy, but just happy. Happy that justice had prevailed and the truth was actually out there and everyone can see it now. You know, it's not just us saying an injustice has been done. It's now out there. It has been done. It was unlawful killing, you know. So, yeah, we were just all looking at each other, hugging each other, crying, jumping. You know, the coroner had to put us all kind of, you know, calm down, you know. But, yeah, it was just so emotional for us all.
And one of the questions that's been asked about this 43 years to get that verdict of unlawful killing, Sean, if this fire had happened in a different part of Dublin, if this had been a more affluent, a better connected community, would it have taken so long to get this answer?
That was a refrain from the late, great Charlie Board, would frequently say that if this happened in Donnybrook instead of Bonnybrook, this would have been sorted a long time ago. And I think you can't ignore the class element of this because it has hallmarks of what happened in Hillsborough as well with the families, the working class families of Liverpool. I think it was easy for the state to ignore these families for so long. They'd given them their tribunal of inquiry at the time, and Ireland likes to move on. When the state has its final say, it likes to just push things aside and try and move on. But because of that arson verdict, because the families had never gotten the answers that they'd saw, they just couldn't give up. They couldn't give up. And it's an absolute credit to them. And I think they'd done a great service by not giving up. Because if another tragedy had happened in a working class area, that kind of precedent has been set. That if people had feel they've been wronged, it was tough. They had to move on. But this relentless pursuit, this dogged pursuit, I think it is an absolute credit to them all.
And Susan, just to say, and you know, some of us we've interviewed family members over the years, but the dignity and the persistence to see that rewarded yesterday is a tribute to all of the families involved. And I just wanted to say that.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no, I mean it. Really, I think we all do. Tell me about your brother, John.
What can I say? We've all got so many beautiful stories about our loved ones. But for me, he was super special, you know, to our family when he, you know, was taken from us unlawfully. It just ripped the inside of our family, you know, apart because he was so special to us. I jotted down a few memories in the pen portrait of the things that I remembered. And they were like, you know, silly, childish things, but, you know, they meant so much to me and to our family. You know, he had this huge heart, this softness about him. When he was around, he felt safe. He was funny. Everything kind of centered around Johnny, myself and my sister. You know, we were a close-knit family. And when that was taken, when his light went from us, it took so much from us, you know, it really did. And as I say, he was mom and dad's only son, you know, and they loved him, the only boy in the house. You can imagine how mothers dote on their sons. But, you know, for us, he was such an important part of our life. You know, we looked forward to seeing our brother. You know, he had just a warmness about him. You know, everybody that met him actually loved him. You know, even to this day, people come up to me and they say, you know, I knew Johnny. He was a lovely lad, you know, really, really. And to hear those things, it's such a wonderful thing when people come up and say that to you because, you know, he was special to us. But for other people to say to you as well, you go, yes, he was special, you know. And like everyone else, he was looking forward to his future. He was excited, you know. I was expecting our first baby in the house and, you know, there was about 4 weeks for me to go and he kept patting my tummy and saying, does it know I'm going to be an uncle? You know, things like that. And I was feeling quite sick at the time. And I was like, leave me alone, you know, oh, goodness, you know. So he was super excited about it because it was a long time since there was a baby in our family, you know. So, you know, that's what I say. All of that was taken, you know, the excitement and the joy of, you know, it all. When he left, you know, it just left that hole, you know, it really did. But then we got our little Julianne who, you know, helped us immensely. You know, she was wonderful, you know, when she came into our lives. There was another little light that came back to us, you know. So,
and I think I remember, Susan, because I was there on the day that you delivered the pen portrait. And I think the pen portrait process at the start of the inquests, where each member of the family got up and was able to talk about their loved one, was able to give their real true lives. Like I remember your one, and you stood up. I think you might have been a bit nervous, but you talked so well and so powerfully about him. I remember.
Thank you.
Was a favorite song, "Lovely Day" by Bill Withers. I think it was
"Lovely Day." That was it. We used to practice that in the front room. We'd put the record down. We'd see who could hold the tone, you know, the longest, you know, the day part in it, you know, and we'd crack up laughing. And sometimes it will be me that could hold the "Lovely Day" note. Sometimes it will be him, you know. But his little party piece was the Huckle Book. Oh. He used to sing the Huckle Book, and his knee would be going. And, you know, those are the memories that we have, you know. They were just wonderful, wonderful memories.
But those details were able to really put forward just these real people, the real lives that they had, and it was a really powerful way to put that across.
Thank you.
It's a credit to you as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Susan, I want to ask you why a state, an official apology matters, what difference it would make to the families.
You know, I do feel that's important. I feel it's important for us because I think we were ignored. I really do feel we were ignored. I feel they were so disrespectful to us, you know, we were left to our own devices. You know, that shouldn't have been the case. You know, so now it shouldn't be a big deal for them to turn around and say, we're sorry. You know, we got it wrong and apologise to us. It's the very least they could do. The very least they could do. And it shouldn't take them a long time to know what to do. You know, do the right thing and give the public apology. We deserve it. Our loved ones deserve it. That's how I feel.
And Sean, I know that Taoiseach has said he will meet with the relatives and so this is something that presumably will be discussed there.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the government statement yesterday obviously acknowledged the severity and the tragedy of the Stardust. And Simon Harris said yesterday he will examine the case, and I think a public apology will be forthcoming. I think it's something that the government, it's very clear from the rulings what the outcome should be, and I think it's something that should be and will be forthcoming from the government.
All right. Susan, I want to thank you very much for talking to us this morning. I particularly
want to thank
you because we had another person lined up who wasn't able to join us, unfortunately, for family reasons.
Yes.
So you stepped in at short notice. So really do appreciate you sharing your family story and the story about Johnny Colgan with us this morning. And Sean Murray, news reporter with the Irish Examiner and co-creator of the Stardust podcast. If people have nothing else to do this weekend, that's certainly worth a listen. And thank you both very much indeed.